Rich Kimble here along with Bruce Pratt. And it's time for Sports Lit 101. And Bruce, last week you brought in some poems for me to check out, and I was absolutely blown away by them. And then when you told me who had written them, I wasn't surprised at all. He's been on the show before, but back with us. I'll let you do the honors, Bruce, and introduce our next guest.
Yes, our next guest is Rick Burton, who, along with Maine's own Norman O'Reilly, was on with us before. They are both involved in sports management and as professors. Norm is the head of the graduate business school now at Maine, and they write a lot about sports business. But and I look forward to their new book, which is in the mail to us soon. But I really love these poems, Rick, because you know, in Athlon and in other places that publish sports poetry, you get a lot of great stuff, and I read a lot of it on the air. We have a lot of poets on the air. What I like, but they tend to be, someone writes about hockey, someone writes about football, someone writes about baseball. These cover a lot of the waterfront, and they're really, really good. It's really good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for that, Bruce. I appreciate the kind words, and yeah, it's been fun trying to write in different sectors would be the wrong word, but trying to write across different sports.
Well, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind beginning with Throwing the Bomb, if you could read that for us, because Rich and I were both just loving that when we were looking at it.
Well, it's something that it's probably the first one that I wrote, and it had a lot to do with the fact that, I don't know if you remember, in old timers may, there was a fantastic Sports Illustrated photographer named Robert Rieger.
Oh, yeah.
Rieger shot mostly in black and white, and he did some unbelievable photography across the late 50s and early 60s. And one of his most famous shots is of Johnny Unitas in the pocket looking to throw long. And I grew up in Springfield, Mass, a huge Johnny Unitas fan. And I think that photograph probably inspired me because I think I probably emulated Unitas on a number of occasions in the backyard with the kids. And so I wrote Throwing the Bomb, and it goes like this. Stood standing in a big box store the other day, cradling a dream. A Wilson Duke she was, and for just $119, it brought to mind those forever autumn days when boys played men playing boys, of times when posts and flags were things you ran. You be Ray Berry, and I'll be Unitas. Pike it on two and go long. It's been too long since make-believe Olsons and Nitschke's roamed wild and free on those damp suburban front lots or sun-scorched backyards. Too long since the ear held that crisp Saturday morning smell. Yeah, you can still feel the chill every now and every then, but the young boy ghosts never stay long. They tumble and burn with the rising sun. Still, in better department stores, when the wife isn't looking, you can fake button hooks to the sales girl in shoes and throw bombs to the shadows in suits.
I just love that. I want to pass this poem on to Upton Bell, because I know Upton is, and I are the last two holdouts of Johnny Unitas as the greatest quarterback of all time. And I know if I have your permission, I'm sure Upton will enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was very moved by your poem Hired Hand, and I was thinking how Frost's Death of the Hired Man, which has always been one of my very favorite poems, has the line, home is where they have to take you in. And I thought about how beautifully that dovetailed with this poem, and would love to have you read that next if that works for you.
Yeah, you know, it's just wild that you guys are promoting poetry. I know that it's a kind of an acquired taste for some and something that's maybe ignored by others. But thank you so much for allowing me to share. This one right now, I think, is unpublished. So this will be kind of its first airing, which could mean that if it does get published somewhere, it may have some editing to it. But as far as I know, this is the finished version. This is Hired Hand. Hadn't thought about him much. In fact, for 40 years, never recalled his slinky heroics at all. And then suddenly heard through all of college he'd hit the bottle hard, even playing big games under the influence. getting heavy senior year, losing his dangerous jab and feint, his first quick step, backdoor cut. Hung around after the oil eligibility ran out, bumming it on Columbia Avenue until some sympathetic supervisor hired him for lawns and leaves. Hauntingly, folks said they'd seen him, the orange steel blower on his back, chasing autumn's dying embers, frayed John Deere brim pulled down so no one could see. Not like they did the night he hammered Carolina for 30, finishing with a reverse layup, a beauty, silently kissing the backboard, dancing high above the cords before falling into sweaty, outstretched Tar Heel arms. Hugely impressive it was seeing him leave the odorous locker room that night, auburn-haired cheerleader on his arm, laughing, waving back over his shoulder, headed out for drinks, someplace down low, other side of the odd-numbered interstate, darkened basement where they didn't make shots, they poured them. Hefty doubles slung under signs promoting nurse's night, barkeep making clear my man's money was no good. Ripped smile hushing the mall rats and rivet heads, the mill rats and rivet heads who wished just once they could have made it rain at Memorial Hall. Happened upon the proverbial hero last night, just around dusk, hooked elbows pumping furiously out over faded black jeans, raking a patch of yellow and grass near the empty quad, pausing, hungry fingers hurtling through a torn Carhartt jacket, faded fluorescent lime vest, checking for that medicinal fix. Hustling to finish up in November's gloaming, scudded clouds headed east, no locals mentally switching places now. Hardly a frigid soul stood in the ivory towers watching this sad shadow gather fallen remnants from some long ago spring, silently corralling wild escapees still skipping across the university's pristine lawn. No, most of them were home, curled up in their wood-paneled dens, thinking about this new season, wondering whether the new point guard, kid from Houston, could finish at the rim.
That will be published, and I hope it is reaches the kind of journal that will get it the kind of exposure it needs. That's a really, really solid poem. I think how often I chat with Ron Smith about what makes great sports poetry, and I would say that everything we've decided goes into great sports poetry you find right there. That's just really a really great one. We have time for you to read another one. If you would like either Night Race or The Conversion.
The Night Race one is pretty short, so depending on your time, The Conversion is another football one, so up to you, your call.
You've got time for The Conversion.
All right, let's see if I can find it here. Give me half a second to, So this one is called The Conversion. And it is out to Ron Smith at Athlon.
Athlon, yeah.
And I believe it'll be coming out this year. People never forget that special starlit night, November 21st, 1987. Snowed that evening, just before Thanksgiving. Thick, sugar-coated flakes covering the drunks and pious as they poured themselves into the county's biggest grandstand. You played like crap most of the game. Slew of interceptions, faulty reads, out-of-time dump-offs, slow going through your progressions. But here time stopped. The boys in their stained pads still trailing by one, scant seconds left. So let's lovingly ask, here in this seething bar, do people still see you quieting that crowd, settling in over the line, double tight end stack, looking right at Tommy, trusting Big Craig could stem the surge? In the huddle, you'd called 48-49, load check with me on two. And now you were barking secret subscript signaling left side, a possible pitch to the jittery backup wearing the heavy 44. To save the season, you're going to have to sell the weak outside linebacker, the Will. Make him hedge inside. It was time. Funny how that snapped Spalding, slick synthetic pimples felt dangerous when it reached your sweaty hands. instantly you broke left, lunging to reach that magical line 2 yards outside the tackle box. Meanwhile, old Moose, future NFL star, clogged the outside gap, selling the safety into thinking you were keeping, willing to welcome a mountainous man wave driving molded polycarbonate through your spine. You didn't see Michael catch it, did you? Didn't see him charge untouched to the pylon. Only heard the muffled roar, face smothered in black plastic pellets, chin strap in your mouth, unknown hands pulling you to your feet, slapping your helmet. For some reason, people still interrupt our drinks, still ask for contortionist selfies, still celebrate the perfect pitch, still care they were there that November night. But here's the sad part. Do you?
That's just great. That's just great, Rick. We I wish that we could do this for another hour. You've got a lot of great stuff. And I encourage people to look to find Athlon, A-E-T-H-L-O-N. It's a great journal. Thanks so much for being with us. I look forward to talking to you and Norm soon when we get the copy of your new NHL book.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bruce. And thanks to you, Rich. And look for that book in the mail, Bruce. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You bet. Thanks, Rick.
That sounds great. Thank you, Rick. It's Rick Burton. Some wonderful book. God, those were great.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I really like these.